have never seen such hellfire and brimstone come through the text line as I have for the last few minutes with Chris beginning his all-time Chris. Even Douglas Dale Christie, who, with the exception of one noticeable incident, rarely gets upset about stuff.
Yes, true.
He is not feeling you either.
For what?
Hopefully he doesn't feel any part of it.
He doesn't like any part of it?
It actually says, I don't even like Chris anymore. I don't know.
Okay, I know you're lying.
Okay, I might have misread that. I may have
misread that. That's how I read it.
Kings play the Spurs tomorrow night. Yes, they do. No Kings game tonight. No Kings game last night. We have tickets to see the Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns. As a matter of fact, December 29th at the Golden 1 Center. If you're listening on the KHDK app, if you're getting out of your car, if you're going to go finish up some last-minute shopping, if you're going to brave a grocery store and walk in there, just keep your earbuds in and listen to the show. Download the KHDK app in your app store on your iPhone or whatever smartphone you use. If you're one of the rare people who's actually still working today, you can listen on KHDK.com. Just send a snapshot of you listening to our Twitter account at Damian Barling or at Jason Ross 1140, and we'll enter you to win. I think we're going to have to give two away because I don't know that Andy's called back.
Okay.
But we'll give them till the end of the show. So, yeah, send those pictures of you listening. You guys, you really helped this app grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very young. We can't thank you enough for downloading it, supporting it, listening to it. And we can't thank you enough for doing all of these little quirky things that we've asked you to do, whether it's the podcast or rate and review and all that stuff. You've really the Lowdown's had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
The Lowdown has had a very good year because of you, and we're really appreciative. All right.
Oh, boy. Do we have to?
We're going to give out some Christmas gifts for our favorite sports franchises here in just a little bit. We're going to look at some of the marquee NFL games. We got a number of them coming up this weekend here on Sports 1140. But Chris must finish off his top seven Christmas lifts. So we've got something called Krampus, which got the reaction from the text line that says, this dude screams hipster nonconformist. Move to Portland and open a quirky restaurant.
Wow.
Krampus.
That sounds like a conformist thing to say.
Shaking my head. Chris has lost all credibility. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
That's just a stupid statement to say. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Guy split up from his family, comes to the West Coast to meet up with his family. Something happens to get in the way of that. He has to fight for his family to get his family back on Christmas.
Do not watch the Krampus movie. That movie was literally the most overhyped, stupid movie I have ever seen. Ever. They went all caps there twice. Another one. Oh, drop the F-bomb in here.
Uh-oh.
Krampus is horrible. That's from Chris and Elk Grove. What are you talking about?
Have you seen it, Damian?
I'm not going to see it.
Okay. Then how can you say anything about it?
I trust the people.
This is my list, not your list. Not these stupid texters list.
Oh. Wow.
This is my list.
This is a full-on Hulk Hogan bash at the beach moment. Just a massive heel turn by one Chris Furlod. Please send your complaints to, I don't know what his stupid Twitter handle is. What is the rest of your list?
Okay. So, what do we have? We've got Krampus number seven.
We're at number four.
Scrooge was number six. Die Hard number five. Number four. Christmas classic, Christmas Vacation. That's one of those ones you have to watch during the Christmas season.
Okay.
I've watched it three times so far.
That's good. Yep, that's good.
Number, let's say tied for second, Home Alone, Home Alone 2. They need to be watched back to back. Home Alone, I think, is a little bit better than Home Alone 2, but both are must-sees during Christmas time.
What was Home Alone 2? New York, right?
He was lost in New York.
Love, thank you. Lost in New York. Okay.
He wasn't lost at home. He wasn't home alone. He was lost in New York.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's our president makes a cameo in that movie.
I don't remember. Does he really?
When he's going to the hotel and he says, excuse me, can you tell me where the desk is? Down the hall and to the left.
Wow. I'm actually stunned that you referred to him as our president. That must be the most shocking thing that's happened in 2017. So they're tied for second. So there's no number three.
Yes.
Okay. So the number one Christmas movie of all time is?
Christopher Lloyd has seen this every year for the past 25 years. And it is A Muppet Christmas Carol. The best Christmas movie of all time. It's probably why I'm a socialist. is because of that movie.
Oh, for God. All right.
I forgot about his love for that movie. I was like, what is it going to be? Oh, yeah, he's told me that one.
So just a mental note for next year.
Yeah.
We can't put Chris in charge of any more segments.
Any Christmas, yeah.
Okay. Oh, can I add a little something?
No,
oh.
I beg you not
okay,
to.
Okay, I'm just going to add just a couple more, a few things. Television specials that you have to see during Christmas time. Saved by the Bell, when Zach takes advantage of a homeless girl.
Oh, my God!
That's what happens! I didn't write the show!
But it's a must-see.
It's a must-see. It's hilarious. It's one of the best. Also, Boy Meets World, when Corey and Sean end up working for the mob to earn Christmas money. And I'm not making that up. And also, the Star Wars Christmas special might be the most insane thing ever put on television. Yeah. You could watch it on YouTube. It's worth the hour and a half to watch it.
Okay.
It is insanity.
One, no, it's not. But two, it is worth pulling up to see how extraordinarily awful it is.
The Star Wars
special? It is his.
What was that?
I think it's historically.
It was like after the first one and before the second one.
I think it's considered historically the worst thing ever put on television.
It's a variety show.
And that's the only way I know what it is because I've seen it before. I had never heard of it. I had never nothing. But I had read something about like the worst things that, you know, like Al Capone's vault and all those like weird like news things. And that was on it. I was like, what is this? And there was a link to it, and it's just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This was on television.
The story is Chewbacca is getting back to his Wookiee family for Christmas. Well, it's not Christmas. It's like the global holiday day. And you know that everyone had to be massively high on cocaine the entire time.
And so you have to watch
it. You have to watch it.
So why isn't Trading Places considered a Christmas movie? Because remember Dan Aykroyd in the Santa suit? It took place at Christmas. How is Trading Places different than Die Hard?
Well, like, I don't consider Die Hard 2 a Christmas movie.
I didn't say Die Hard 2.
Well, I'm saying that just because a movie takes place during Christmas, see, you're not going to like my answer to this.
I generally don't. Like, we've worked together for a year now. Like, I generally don't.
I've never seen Trading Places.
Do you feel like Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
I don't think Christmas, but I realize this is a, like, I started seeing this pop up on social media over the course of the last, this is like a thing, and people, like, argue over it.
They do.
And it's silly, and Chris put it on his list, but it's fine. If you want to put that on there, then why is it not, how is Trading Places different?
I didn't say it wasn't a Christmas movie.
I didn't say that you did. I'm just saying I never see Trading Places on Christmas movie list. Dan Aykroyd's dressed as Santa, and he's got like a gun. He like sticks salmon in his Santa suit. Poor guy.
You could also say Goodfellas.
All right. Wow. Okay. No.
I got the biggest tree on the lot.
I have never wanted to go home as bad as I do right now. We should have planned this for like the very end of the show, so we could have just walked out.
Left it for Grant and Doug.
Yeah. Let them deal with this.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you actually upset Doug Christie. Doug Christie's upset with your list.
He'll tell you about it when he gets in here.
He will. You got some splaining to do, Lucy.
Well, remember, it's not Doug Christie's list. He can have whatever list he wants. That's fine. This is my list.
Are you calling out Doug Christie?
I'm not calling him out at all.
Oh, okay.
He can have his list. Uh-huh. I can have my list. And that's fine. That's how America works.
Are you sure? Are you positive that that's how America works? Yes, Trading Places is definitely a Christmas movie. That's here on the text line. Maybe I'm late to the party. Yeah, you are, because it says Elf with Will Ferrell is a must for Christmas. Indeed it is.
Must.
Not for Chris.
A must.
No. Okay. I did watch it this Christmas and came to the conclusion.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song?
Do you know when I ask you questions, you always repeat it?
I'm trying to I don't know.
Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Boy, probably Sleigh Ride.
Okay. By a particular artist, because it's probably been done by like a thousand times.
Just the song.
There's like 190 versions of This Christmas. And okay.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town. How about you?
You asked the question.
Let It Snow by Boyz II Men
is
one of my favorites. All I Want for Christmas, Mariah. I'll sing the hell out of that.
Well, that's a classic.
Yeah, of course, Run DMC.
Yeah. I like, it's not, I don't even know the name of the song. It's no words in it, but the Peanuts Christmas song. Linus. I think it's Linus and Lucy.
Oh. I wasn't big into Peanuts.
Okay.
Storm of the Court,
That's probably before my time, Jason.
Oh, really? Muppets? Okay.
All right.
That obviously wasn't before my time.
Again, Sendra, if you can find Chris, I can never remember. I try to tag him in Instagram post. I can't remember what his freaking Twitter handle is. I got to, like, search through, like, where is Chris? But, yeah, send your hate tweets to him. There is football this weekend. What do you want to do here? This, like I told you, this show was going to be a mess. Like, we acknowledged that at 12 o'clock when we got here. We're already on vacation. I don't know about y'all, man. We're hanging out. We've had a fun day. We got games are starting to matter less in the
some,
NFL.
Yeah.
But there are some that are really important. I want to bring a couple to your attention. We're also going to send some Christmas gifts to our sports franchises, including your Sacramento Kings. So let's end the hate for Chris here on the text line.
Good luck.
There's a lot of it. And let's start gifting stuff to our favorite sports franchises. The Falcons and the Saints, they play in New Orleans this weekend, and they play at 1 o'clock. I'm going to tell you why that's important. Because Seattle and Dallas, they got the I have East Coast time stuck in my head. They play at 10 o'clock. The Falcons and the Saints play at 10 o'clock. The Seahawks and the Cowboys play at 1:25. If the Falcons beat the Saints, that game with the Cowboys and the Seahawks suddenly becomes meaningless.
Right.
It doesn't matter who wins after that.
It knocks them out.
I think if the Falcons win, the Falcons clinch a playoff spot, and the only team that can take the Saints is Seattle. But I'll have to double check that. But that game could mean nothing by 1:25.
And that's hard when you prep all week. You've got your game plan. I know they'll know the score, right?
Of course.
When people say, well, we may not be scoreboard, somebody's going to know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be the whole team. It doesn't have to be entire defense. Someone will know in the locker room what happened with that other game.
Detroit will definitely be eliminated. Detroit needs all sorts of crazy things to happen because all of those teams are 8-6. Seattle, Dallas, and Detroit, they're all 8-6. Detroit is in the worst shape because they have zero tiebreakers with anyone in front of them. The timing of those two games is pretty interesting.
Yeah. But I think that Saints, I hope the Saints-Falcons game is as good as the last one. Yeah. Just a couple weeks ago on Thursday night, it was a fun game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Another another one I jotted down here, Jay Ross, is the Rams and the Titans. Still has playoff implications for the Rams. They could still find their way out of this. The Titans, believe it or not, could still find their way out of the playoffs as well. I think they clinch with a win here, but that's another game I think worth watching. Plus, it's in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like ranking playoff importance. Now, there are other games that seeding, potential tiebreakers, things that you would have to wait till next week to really get to the bottom of. There's plenty of that going on this week. But in terms of three games with the most importance this weekend, I think it's those three.
Yeah, and you there's other games, like you said, that, you know, there's some talk right now about Buffalo and New England. New England's, going to try to do what they can to secure their spot. Buffalo still has a way in. But it's the Gronk factor, because we know the last time they played, he had that dirty play after the game or got suspended. Is Buffalo going to try to react to that? Who knows? Just that's another little storyline for the
week.
Here's
the thing, though. They can't.
Right.
Because they
need to win.
Yeah, they're in a playoff position.
Yeah.
They desperately need to win to keep their hopes alive. So any other time? Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, by the way, Latavius, man, Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, he's up there. I mean, he's had an incredible season.
Absolutely.
Anything else? Anything that you've really got your eye on this weekend?
I mean, the other things, out of the playoff search, I mean, one thing is the 49ers. I want to see if Jimmy G can keep this going. I think there's a lot of people believing in him. He's done some great things, but still hasn't been perfect, which is encouraging, I think, because we know they've left a lot of points out there. But if he can continue to win – and now they've finished with two tougher matchups, so I think the hype train will be be crowded, the bandwagon, if they keep winning.
What if it goes the other way?
I don't think that derails any kind of momentum for him.
What if Calais Campbell just annihilates?
Well, that I don't know.
I don't mean gets hurt.
Right.
I just mean he tees off for 7 sacks, because this was the issue that we were not we, the 49er faithful, the 49er fans, and maybe the 49er front office mm-hmm. was worried about from the beginning.
Yeah.
Is you have a weak offensive line, and he's done pretty well. They've done pretty well. He's done pretty well getting rid of the ball quickly. He's going against the best defense in the NFL this week. He's going against the defense with one of the most dangerous pass rushes in the entire NFL this week. So if there's a week to fear for the human Instagram filter, it's this one.
Yeah.
It's this one with Calais Campbell back there, who's, for my money, is tracking towards, you know, I love giving out postseason awards for some reason here, defensive MVP.
Mm-hmm.
This is. I'll watch the game closely yeah. because it's the biggest test Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have.
And that's what it is. I like that test he's going through. And to see if he can handle this defense, a playoff-bound defense, and just how he plays. Just what does that look like? He's been able to move the ball against some other lesser teams lately, but now they're a major challenge ahead.
This text here, 44-11-40, Cowboys need one loss by the Lions and any of Saints, Panthers, or Falcons to lose out. That doesn't – is that right? Because the – oh, well, yeah, they'd have to win out. So they have a tie. I see they'd have a tiebreaker. But that doesn't make – okay, yeah, it does. They'd have a tiebreaker. I wonder what the reason for that is. We'll have to pull up why they have a tiebreaker over the Saints and the Panthers, because obviously they wouldn't have one over the Falcons, but the Falcons have one more loss than those other teams do. Do you think Bill O'Brien could lose his job this offseason?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he could.
I mean, they're 4-10.
Right.
They got Pittsburgh, who's I could be wrong. I have to imagine Pittsburgh's a little cranky.
They should be.
I mean, not that that necessarily matters. Pittsburgh is a significantly better team than Houston is. And we speculated a couple of weeks ago, Jay Ross, that he'll get bailed out with the J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. And now I'm just looking. I don't know that that's going to be enough for Bill O'Brien. I really don't. I'm starting to lean towards a blowout loss this week, maybe a poor performance in week 17, or maybe not. He might lose his job this offseason.
Yeah, if it finishes with just the 4, then you're 4-12. Even with some of the things he could use as excuses later, it just makes you wonder if he'll be able to dodge through that, because this is a situation here where they've had some off-season things, some other things going on as well. I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't be if this was the end for him.
You want to get your boys?
Who's that?
Jay Cutler and the Dolphins against the Chiefs. They're still in. You talked about this. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, somehow they're in it, but no, I'm not picking them.
In Kansas City, in Arrowhead.
I'm starting to get back on to what the Chiefs are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what happened in the middle of the season, but 5-0 start. They might finish 4-0 at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be going in, and then you'll go, okay, especially if Alex Smith continues to play well and Hunt runs well, then you're like, all right, this is the best version of this team. Can they beat Pittsburgh? Can they beat New England? Can they get through the AFC?
You know, we were kind of pressed for time yesterday, and I didn't get to do one small thought on the Chiefs just because, as I said, we kind of ran out of time. But I did have this. Kareem Hunt, during their 5-game win streak, he averaged 121.8 yards on 19.4 carries. During the next 7 games, he averaged 45.8 yards on 13.7 carries. Their last 2 wins, 135.5 yards on 24.5 carries.
Yeah.
They're relying. I mean, the only game that they won that he did not play well in, they beat Denver 29-19 when he had 22 attempts for 46 yards. That's the only game where Kareem Hunt played bad and they won. He's their bread and butter.
Absolutely.
And I think he, and we noted this during the 5-game win streak, Kareem Hunt, I think, is the reason that Alex Smith has been able to find guys like Tyreek Hill regularly for 50-plus yards. He's the reason that Alex Smith has been able to hit that 300-yard mark a couple of times here during the season and had all of our, had everyone screaming a potential MVP during the first quarter or so of the season.
Yeah, and I think, again, that if that starts to happen consistently where Kareem Hunt is running well, Alex Smith's getting the ball downfield a little bit, still not making his mistakes, defense can be strong, I just could see them doing some damage. I really can in the AFC.
Yeah, suddenly a 4-game win streak, I think you start to forget about what happened in the middle of the season.
Yep.
And the only thing that I think brings that back up is they're going to play on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And
at some point in the postseason.
Yeah, so if it's like, man, If that game had been at Arrowhead, boy, oh, boy. But if they're able, you know, to get a couple of games into the playoffs, then, you know, suddenly I don't think that stuff really matters anymore. We mentioned the Lions. They're 8-6. I didn't really feel like bringing up their game because they played the Bengals. And what do you got? Like, yeah. I got nothing.
We already know they're moving on. They're going to have a different coach. I mean,
No, what? Yeah. No. Wait,
very
what
vague.
I've been telling you since you first reported this in August that that's not a thing. That was a quote, by the way, from Marvin Lewis.
Yeah. So, wait, you will be back? Well, just
I didn't say that. How hot you want to go here? Cleveland gets their first win this weekend?
I don't think I liked it this weekend.
Mitch better have my money.
Yeah.
In Chicago, 4-10. Jordan Howard stinks all of a sudden. He's not playing well. He think he's had one good game maybe in the last 4 or 5 weeks. If Jordan Howard's not playing well, the defense doesn't have to really work with Mitchell Trubisky at all.
Yeah.
They could just tee off on everybody.
I don't have a preference about the Browns. I don't really care if they go in 16. There was a time where people would root for that, like when Detroit did it. Oh, I want to see that. Okay, we saw it. Like, what does that even do?
I'm the opposite. I don't root for anyone to go 0-16 because I think that's just got to be tough. But at the same time, I don't care if they go 0-16. Mm-hmm. Like at the start of the year, you know, I would have thought I don't want any team to go 0-16. But they've had so many missteps. It's like,
yeah,
how does this
it.
Keep happening to you?
Right.
Like you had one win last year. How are you staring at a potential 1-32 2-year stretch? And how in the hell does Hugh Jackson survive that and you justify that to your fan base?
Yeah.
1-32.
And then you change GMs. Okay. Well, what else are you going to change?
I don't care what they said earlier this year. Hugh Jackson's not coming back. He can't. They go 0-16. He can't come back.
I think he is.
You know something, and it drives me crazy. Every time this comes up, you get this smirk. Like, you know, who do you know in Cleveland?
BrownsInsiders.com.
There it is. All right. Let's send
some. I don't think you should check out that website.
Yeah, I guess stay away from that one.
Oh, dear. Wow. Please don't, especially if you're at work. Let's send some Christmas gifts. Sacramento Kings, Raiders, 49ers. We'll give out some Christmas gifts to our favorite sports franchises next.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God.
El Reindeer. Wrapping things up here in the final half hour of this Christmas Eve edition of the Lowdown. Programming note, want to let you know we got a lot of live sports coming your way on Christmas Day. Steelers at the Texans, Raiders at the Eagles. We will have the Kings at the Clippers coming up on Tuesday, and the Lowdown will be back in time on Wednesday to preview the King.
LeBron.
How many times over under 5.5. LeBron is asked about his first game.
Over.
Like, way over, right?
Yeah, because it happens every year. And so, yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, is his
answer? But he likes talking about it.
But is his answer different?
No.
Oh. Can't you just run the tape back?
Probably.
Okay. Well, we'll be here on Wednesday. We will be here live in the studio on Wednesday to talk about how the Kings did against the Clippers and get you ready for the Kings-Cavs. That'll be our final show of the year, as we're going to air Best Of on Thursday and Friday. Chris and I are going to spend some time over the weekend putting that together, but Chris has already done a lot of work on it. We've got some really great stuff that we forgot about. As we mentioned, I think earlier in the week, Ken's nervous react his him playing the role of Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Carmelo
thought he may be. It might be the greatest thing that has ever happened on this radio station. It was absolutely incredible.
That
Bill Bellamy's going to be on there. Yeah,
Chris's Christmas list.
Nope,
the best.
Nope, Chris. Nope. Mm-mm. Chris's Christmas list will not.
Nope.
Not be on there.
No,
that will not make the list. But there'll be a lot of good. The Bill Bellamy. If you miss Bill Bellamy, and again, I think that was at. I'm almost positive that was at 3:00. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure, but I think we were out of our normal time slot, and Bill Bellamy came in, and man, I can't sell that enough to you if you've never heard it.
Fantastic.
Absolutely incredible. So we'll talk to him. Doug and I actually did an interview with Kenny Anderson, which was one of the most enjoyable interviews, enjoyable conversations we've ever had. We'll have that a part of it. We'll give you the full layout next week, but just wanted to give you a heads up. The Lowdown will be back on Wednesday, and that will be our final show of the year. We will return, is it Tuesday? January?
Yes, January 2nd.
January 2nd to start 2018. With a bang, and we're really counting on you to be with us because you have been fantastic through 2017. 44-11-40. So according to NFL people, the Falcons were supposed to have a Super Bowl hangover. What exactly does that entail? Losing record? I think they've had a fairly good season thus far. That's from the text line again here at 44-11-40. Yeah, they went out. In fact, they don't have to win out. They win on Sunday. They're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. They win on Sunday, and they're in the playoffs, and they've had a – they've had a great year. They've had no Super Bowl hangover. I think there's a possibility that they finish 11-5. Even if they
need to make the playoffs, though, otherwise that would be a failure.
Well, yeah, but they would have to lose the next two games to lose the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like they have to lose both of them.
Well, it is Saints and Panthers, though.
Yeah, it's my ideal scenario, and I think the NFL's too. Well, they won't say this, but for drama purposes. Is the Falcons lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Falcons lose, and then you want the Panthers to lose this week also. Because then, the following week, it's...
All the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they both win this week, they're in.
Right.
And then there's not a lot... I don't know what drama... They're seeding drama heading into week 17. I don't know that there's playoff spots, at least not in the NFC.
Would the Saints aren't in yet, are they?
Oh, yeah, the Saints would have to win. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
the Saints
so would they would still be a team.
And they got the Bucs?
I'm assuming week,
division.
Yes.
Yeah. Division.
But if they lost to the Falcons, then all of a sudden they're the one that's kind of looking.
Yeah. Oh, and wouldn't that be a shame?
Yeah, after the start they had, too.
Yeah, that would be a shame for them to miss the playoffs. Let's give out some Christmas gifts here. Let's start with the Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Two-game winning streak. I think we got our own little Christmas gift by Sacramento Kings winning two in a row and us getting a – very energized Garrett Temple on with us yesterday.
Yeah.
First time that we've talked to Garrett this season after the Kings won. We have only been able to get him after losses. Unfortunately, we got him after some pretty ugly losses. But you could hear a different tone in him yesterday. You could hear him talk about the team. You could hear him talk about mentoring the young guys. If you missed that conversation, just go to the app, download the app, the KHTK app, go to the on-demand section, and you can listen to it entirety at the top of the second hour yesterday. But what gift would you give the Sacramento Kings for Christmas?
I have two. One is team-related. One is an individual. The team one, and they both are kind of similar in what they relate to. I hope 2018 and Christmas time is a great resurgence at home. This team needs to get better. They're going to have to start winning home games. And we're talking even longer term, you know, of where they're trying to get to. But there's still a great fan base. You listen back and hear some highlights of different things, and you just go, man, the crowd was really into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the team hasn't been very good. Mm-hmm. But to have some, like a home court where you just go, you know what? It's hard. It's hard to come into Sacramento to win. No matter what the roster is, I would like to see that. That would be a wish I would have for them. Even though they're playing better on the road, that's great. I want to see them being great in that building.
Is that possible?
Like, I don't know. Today, I don't know. With this current roster?
No. Sorry. Let me phrase this question better. You said you wanted teams to come in and think Sacramento's a really tough place to play. Mm-hmm. What I meant by is that possible? Is it possible with that building?
Oh, I think so. What do you mean by that?
Well, because I've asked you this on a number of mm-hmm. occasions. A lot of people spend a lot of time on the concourse.
Mm-hmm.
They spend a lot of time hanging over by Doug and Coe's in the Comcast area.
Or up top.
They spend time, up at the, is it Sierra Nevada mm-hmm. Bar? It just, I don't know, does the sound project the same from those areas?
I hear you.
Do you have to be in the bowl? Do you have to be in your seats? The only time I can really remember fans in the seats, like, at the beginning of the game was the first one.
Yeah.
Because I think you were specifically instructed, like, be in your seats, we're going to do something special, blah, 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 for the first one at the Golden 1 Center. I wonder if that Arco Thunder, right? Because that's ultimately what we're talking about.
Sure.
I wonder if that's still possible.
I think so. I can think of a game this year that they didn't win, but they had a great fourth quarter, and Buddy was amazing against the Clippers that they ultimately fell short. But he made a couple of huge baskets at the place It was pretty loud.
De'Aaron's shot was at home, right?
Yes, against Philly.
And how was that?
That was loud. Okay. It was loud, yeah. So I think it's capable.
I feel like the end of the Houston game, which was opener. That was the home opener, mm-hmm. yeah, this year. I feel like there were a lot. Maybe it's the closer the game is.
No, yeah,
and,
for sure.
And there are times that they haven't been close.
Right.
So what was the other gift that you wanted
to
give?
Well, the individual one, this would also go to the fans, but to one individual. I would like to see a game in which they're at home and Vince Carter has just an uncontested lane. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe there's a steal, a poke away, and they lead it out, and Vince has it from half court on, and you know he's not going to be caught. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to do, but I want to see what he's going to do.
If Vince Carter, if that happened, you would feel, you'd feel
yes,
the anticipation.
Absolutely. And he could just do a one-handed dunk.
But what if he laid it in?
That's still the anticipation is what's exciting.
But would the crowd boo if Vince Carter laid it in?
I would. No. Yeah.
You would boo.
Yeah.
And Deuce would probably catch it on camera.
Probably. But I think you're right. The whole thing is the anticipation. Uh-oh. Oh, here he. Yeah. Oh, 2 points, yeah.
Who did that? Was it Vince? Maybe Tracy McGrady did it? Some big-time dunker had a breakaway, and he jumped, and he just, like, finger-rolled it in.
2 points.
Yeah, 2 points.
But I think Vince would give a little show.
He still does 360 dunks.
Oh, he's capable, yeah.
Practice.
Yeah.
Or shoot-arounds. Like, he still does it in warm-ups.
But I want it to be at home. He had one, I can't remember which, you know, he had a road game where he got loose and everybody was excited. And it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it at home.
Well, they say the season doesn't start until Christmas, right? Oh, no one's paying attention to the NBA until Christmas.
Well, that's Monday.
Yeah.
It's here.
So I'm wondering if between, let's say, Christmas and maybe the All-Star break, right, two really definitive points
mm-hmm.
for an NBA season, I wonder if we start to see more of a set lineup for the rest of the season. Nothing that we've seen yet leads me to believe that, but if I were to magically gift something to Dave Yeager or the front office or whoever is involved in this plan with the Sacramento Kings, it would be, this is your lineup. I don't know what the lineup is,
mm-hmm.
but I'm gifting you. These are your best seven players that you should focus on for the rest of the year. That doesn't mean you only play seven players.
Right.
That just means
your primary.
You see guys playing, and I know I am a broken record with this. You see some of the younger players in particular, not Vince Carter, not Zach Randolph, but you see some guys playing 35 minutes. You know, Zach can still be at 30 or 28 or whatever you want him to be. I'm not saying those guys don't play. I'm saying you find the guys you really want to invest in for the rest of the season. I feel like that's not going to be Scal. Like, you've already sent him to the D-League. I feel that's not going to be Justin Jackson. You've already sent him to the D-League. Jorgis Papagiannis, I've made how I felt about him pretty clear already. So you have De'Aaron Fox now. You have Frank Mace. What are you going to do with those guys? That would be my gift. Here is my magic gift to you. This is a tablet right here that has the players that you should invest in for the next rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you've given up on Justin Jackson or Scalabies. These guys are your focus and who you are building around when next season comes around. Because if you continue to do this, he gets a little bit of time here. He gets a little bit of time here. This one's going to the D-League. This one's going to the D-League. What do you know going into next season?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you're rebuilding, right? Well, you got to rebuild. Like, these years have to overlap. It can't be just, well, this is year two. Okay, well, what did you learn in year one? That's what I would like to see. We'll send out some more gifts. We'll wrap up. What about Christmas wishes for Jason Ross? We'll have to get those as well. Plus an update on the Linear Championship. That's all coming up when we wrap things up next on The Lowdown. All I want for Christmas
is you.
Guys are the worst. Now you got Doug involved in this nonsense. Unbelievable. And you let that one go, too. You let it go significantly longer than you usually do. Oh, you got it recording and everything, don't you? Y'all can kiss. You know what?
I didn't know that was happening.
You can kiss my ass, and you can kiss my ass. And a little girl who just walked in there, too, from OKNCI, you can kiss my ass also. Y'all ain't right, man. What is wrong with you?
That was well done.
You know what the video should be? It should be of the three of you.
Yeah, we should record
doing
them.
Your little ridiculous dances. Oh, no, don't say them like you weren't a part of it.
No, I didn't know that was happening. I just dance. I like that song.
Great song.
It's a great song.
Great.
Great.
Chris, it's great.
On that song has given me more joy this year than any other song.
Gosh, you're the worst person in the world. Jeez almighty. What are we doing here?
Over Christmas,
I was so excited.
Christmas songs?
Yeah, no. We're not going over anything that has to do with music. We spent a great deal of time on music here today. We just tried to have fun today, man. It's our Christmas special. We're wrapping up. We're headed out for the holidays. We will be back on Wednesday, though, to get you ready. We'll recap the Kings and the Clippers and get you ready for the Kings and the Cavs because it's back-to-back. Good thing the NBA has cut back on those back-to-back games.
Yeah, just want to make it easier, especially around the holidays.
It's like the 47th one. That the Kings have had. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just 44-11-40. I can imagine Coach the Koofus singing in the background to that song.
Well done.
You are a winner for that. I love it. A couple people disagreed with me with my gift for the Sacramento Kings. Damon, okay. I love you to death, brother, but you're way off on the rotation. If you just want to focus on giving minutes to certain guys, then how are you going to know if the other guys are any good? Still a young team. So I understand why Coach is spreading the minutes out. If Coach's decision to focus on a core group of players like you're suggesting, then you're wrong. We won't know what the other players are capable of, like Justin Jackson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, all right. I mean, my feeling is if you continue to do this all year, then what do you know heading into next year? Like, we've seen Frank Mason play really well.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen Frank Mason play 10 minutes. Let me ask this question to you because I feel like your expertise is better to answer than me. If a player plays really well, with one exception, and that's Bogdan Bogdanovic, if a young player plays really well, does that guarantee them minutes in the next game or moving forward?
With this team, I don't know.
I feel like the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because didn't Shakar Sampson have two great games?
Yeah, I feel like he's a little bit different, but your point is fair.
Frank Mason.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Jackson's been in the starting lineup.
Frank Mason mania was running wild.
But I feel like now he's in the rotation. Like, he's playing.
No, he definitely is. But, like, what did he play in the two, like, 13 minutes?
Okay.
Like, did he play 20-plus minutes? Yeah. I don't think he did.
I think part of that, too, isn't this been the best of George Hill?
Sure. That's fine.
So,
but De'Aaron Fox has been gone.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you want to utilize Frank more?
Yeah.
I know you got to keep Garrett on the floor for defensive purposes.
And they've played some lineups specifically, at least in the game two games ago, without a true point guard. Like Garrett's played it or Bogdan's played it when Hill was ill the one game.
Sure.
And then, so that's been interesting.
That was just a suggestion. Look, I'm not telling Dave Yeager what to do with his lineup. I'm just wondering – when the season is over, if I could give him a gift that magically says, hey, these are your guys that you really want to focus on for the rest of the year. What would you know about them heading into next year? Because if the season ended today, what do you know about the Sacramento Kings headed into 2018? That's my question.
Yeah.
Because I feel like what we're saying is the same things. Well, we think the core is good. We think De'Aaron Fox has a really high ceiling. The ceiling is the roof for De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
We think that's there. We really like Frank Mason. Justin Jackson, back and forth to Reno. We're just going to keep trying to figure out something with Yorgos Papayannis. Okay, but what do you know headed into next year?
Right.
That's my question.
Well, I guess I'm thinking even back to last year after the trade, the final 25 games, did we have an idea about Scal or Willie or what they would be this year per se? Or just more so that, that gives us excitement of what they could be.
But they're not playing the same amount of time that they did last
year. They're not, yeah.
And that's
part of it, maybe falling all in line.
It's tough, man. Like I don't know what the right formula is with this group. What do you want for Christmas?
I don't have anything on my wish list. How about you?
I'm as happy as can be, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this this has been a fun year for us. This has been a really good year. I can't say this to you enough. We'll say it again on Wednesday, but we're so appreciative. You have made this show so special. You, Jason, you, Chris, you listening, you have all made
Chris?
This show. Well, I'm just trying to be all inclusive here. Have made this show so special, and we're so, so thankful. I know a lot of people set the over-under for us. I don't know what the over-under was, but I know a lot of people.
We hit the over.
I know a lot of people took the under.
Yeah.
And we're still here. I know we're down a man from where we were at the start of the season, but Ken is still very much a part of this show. You're going to hear him next week when we run some of those.
Yes, you will.
You're going to hear a whole lot of Ken when we run some of those best ofs next week. But thank you so much for letting this show be as successful as it is, because if you didn't put up – I know everybody loves Jason, but if you didn't put up with me, man, we wouldn't be here.
And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, and we got more to come. That's what's exciting.
Tomorrow, next week is going to be fun on the air. Next week is going to be really fun for the three of us off the air. And again, we're really thankful. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a very happy holiday, a very Merry Christmas. Congratulations to Anna. Anna, we're going to send you to see the Sacramento Kings take on the Phoenix Suns.
Nice.
December 29th. At the Golden One Center. For all those who take place on this social media stuff, for everyone who has called and texted, just know whether we got the opportunity to respond or not, we are greatly appreciative. Again, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We will see you next week.